marry at will. And with that, Mary, do we have a roll call?
Yes, we do, and we do have a quorum. Let me go over who I got. On Teams, I have you, you Tammy Bozier-Cockwell, Aaron Kawara, John Rockwell. On phone, I have John Crona, Teams Carl Edwards, Bobby Carter, Donnie Lane, Nikki Flores, Pete Rogel, Zachary Haas, Alan Drennan, Trig Erickson, and I have a phone number that is 552-7045.
That is Master Storm Draves from J Bear.
Thank you. And then in the room, I have David Reed, Mark Newman, myself, Paul Fussy, Scott Stormo, Evan Rockwell, Lieutenant Enders, and that. Oh, and Mr. Wall just joined us. And oh, I forgot Nick. That is Doc. Did I miss anybody online?
Did you get Naomi Wiley?
Who was that?
Naomi Wiley.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Jim Goodman.
Yeah.
Paul McCorris.
Oh, I know. Sorry. Paul with BK Technology. Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, Mrs. Scott, thank you all. Do we have any special guests today?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy. So we do have Mr. Mark Newman from the Anchorage Wide Area Radio Network, AWARN. He'll be giving a presentation after the meeting about their system and how it is tied in with ALMR.
That's excellent. Thank you, Mr. Fussy. And if that's all for special guests, we can move on to the approval of the of last month's meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Is there any, are there any questions about it at this time? Any requested changes? Hearing nothing, could I get a motion and a second to approve the May meeting minutes?
This is Tammy. I'll make a motion to approve.
Oh, thank you. And a second.
This is Carl, and I make a second.
And thank you, Carl. And with no objections, the motion is passed. We can move on now to the issues and risk log. Were there any questions concerning the issues in risk log?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy. The board was kind enough to remove some of the items off the issues and risk log in the last meeting. However, we do have two concerns still. We are looking to find an alternate for Southeast and an alternate federal non-DOD representative. So those are the two items in the issues and risk log. We're still looking for two alternates for the board. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Fussy. And the rest of them, the rest of those issues were taken care of, other than those two.
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. With that, we can move on to the action items. Do we have any questions regarding the action items?
I apologize, Mr. Chair. They were on there. They were taken off. So I'll put them right back on.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Fussy.
They're now on the screen. Sorry, I apologize, Mr. Chair.
Oh, apologies unnecessary. So we all got these sent to us a little early. Were there any questions or concerns regarding these action items? I'm hoping this is not the first time we've looked at them.
So, Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy. So item number three from the April 2nd meeting, the requested step-by-step SOP checklist for site owners in case of amounts for eruption. That was created and sent out to all the members, and we did not get any feedback on there. So I know some folks have said that they put it into their folder, but we did have Mary send it out to all the primary and alternate members, but no feedback was given back to myself, any changes or anything else. So that I'll keep it on the list, Mr. Chair, but right now item number three was sent out.
I think you can close it.
Through the chair, Mr. Woodall, if you wanted to speak.
Yeah, I think it was sufficient. I mean, each individual entity has, I'm sure, things they want to add on their own that pertain specifically to them, but in general, it was a sufficient checklist, which was prudent for us to put out, and it was, and I think you could close that.
All right, and for the group, now this is the chair, if you haven't had a chance yet to take a look at that, that document that Mary sent out, it's very thorough. So I would just, you know, at least glance over it, take a look at it, but it addresses a great number of things. So I personally liked it. So I put down an accept on that. It's up to you all. Please just at least glance over it, and if you have any requested changes, please forward those on to LMR.
Well, if I were able to make a motion, I'd make a motion to close it, but I am not, so someone else will need to do that. So I'm asking for someone to put forward a motion to close that item.
I'll make a motion to close item three from the action.
Can we get a second?
This is Tammy. I'll second, please.
Thank you, Tammy. And with that, the motion is closed. And I think that is it for the action items. Am I correct, Mr. Fussy?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. That's the only one. So number one, we're still waiting after the testing. And then number two follows up with item number one once we do all the testing on there.
Okay, great. Thank you. Would you like to move on to the operation management updates?
Yes, Mr. Chair. So, afternoon, everyone. So this is Paul, and I'll do the training on there. So when you go to the training, Dan Nelson has uploaded to the website a training video highlighting using the Wi-Fi and LTE functions on the radio. I'd like to thank Mr. Nick and the SMO office for the help on that one with the software and how we can do that after the FedRAMP approval. Outreach, I'm still going out and talking to all the AMR members, see if any questions, concerns, and how the radio upgrades are progressing. We're getting good feedback on that. Also, we're doing TDMA testing for agencies. That's still ongoing. We were going to work with another agency today to turn TDMA on for them, but today got away from Nick and I, so we'll work on that tomorrow. We did meet with the Army Corps of Engineers, civil disaster team, discuss their radio needs and what they'll need for TDMA. And then I'm working on the articles for the July newsletter. So if anyone has any ideas or would like to write an article about a topic, please let me know. That'll be for the July 15th newsletter. System upgrade, the quarterly zone control rollover was successful. That was completed May 27th through the 29th with no issues on that one. Motorola is working with the local vendor on link testing and installing the new antennas. The antennas are being swept and they're working out logistics for getting the crews out in the field. I want to thank everyone for their due diligence and their work. Mr. Reed, our security manager, has been doing weekly scans of the system. As of last year, there's a lot of consoles that were not being upgraded, rebooted. Mr. Reed's latest one, we only had three consoles that needed to be rebooted. That's the lowest we've ever seen, and shows everyone's being proactive, and work is paying off. So I want to thank Mr. Reed for doing those weekly scans and for all the centers that are actually rebooting all their consoles and doing all the work on that. So I really appreciate that. PMI accounts. May, they had 13 were completed. Three of them were Hilo sites, 10 of them that you had to drive to. As of June, only one's been completed, but the teams are getting ready to head out in the field. There's 13 left to do for June. 11 of them are Hilo sites and two you could drive to. So with the hopefully better weather we're going to have, we'll be getting a lot of the Hilo sites done. May and document reviews. None were scheduled for May, but we do have some for June that we're going to be working on. So as we go to the metrics, for May, we had 1,646,325 calls. Push to talks, we had 2,719,199. Busies, we had 952. And then if you look at our sites below 3.9, there was 12. However, we look at the reasons for, like I said, Nick's team has been doing a lot of PMIs. So the bulk of the sites below 3.9s were because of the PMIs. State fiber patch over by the Alcan at Haynes, which affected two of the sites. And then we had a few maintenance issues over at Pillar and Woman's Bay. And as of last month, we do have new slides as a reminder. So our subscriber counts, 32,508. And we do have it broken down by the zones for everyone. So if you look at the state of Alaska for zone 1 and 2, same as the DOD, and then municipal, obviously we have the zone 4. So we have a total 32,508. Keep in mind, the system is listed for only 33,000. So I want to stress to everyone that if you have any radios on the system you're not using, please remove them. But we did recently receive a subscriber form to remove 42 radios from just one agency. So as we go through and you do an upgrade for the new radios, please remember to return a subscriber request exactly. And have those removed.
Perfect. Okay, perfect. That I just sent a text to the contact point. So anyway, I'll send that to you here in just a moment. Okay.
So everyone online, someone does have a hot mic.
You know what? Yeah, I will send that to you, and then I'll call him. All right, thank you.
Does anybody have any questions about the metrics? Any hands up at all, Mary, online? Okay. No questions on metrics. I go and finish up my other. So Mary's working on sending out the members their membership agreements. They need to be signed and returned on or before June 9th. June 30th. Looking at my other notes. Apologize for that. Just make sure you're checking your emails for any spam or junk files on there, but we've been getting quite a few back, so I appreciate that. We are working with Mr. Stormo to finalize the budget amounts for FY27 per policy and procedure. The completed budget draft will be presented at the July User Council meeting, and after the User Council looks at it, then it will be presented to the Executive Council meeting for approval. And since we did talk about Mount Spur, I've been keeping track of the Alaska Volcano Observatory. They still list Mount Spur as yellow. However, no changes have been observed in the monitoring data to indicate the volcano is moving any closer to an eruption. So no news is good news from the volcano. That's all I have, Mr. Chair, pending any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fussy. Are there any questions for Mr. Fussy considering the operations management? Okay, hearing none, I think we can go on to the system management. Mr. Fostock?
Yes, thank you. So like Paul said, you know, we're doing a lot of PMI, so thank you for your patience as we go through these summer months where the PMI completion is increased, essentially, compared to the rest of the year. I know it can be frustrating sometimes when you're trying to talk on the radios or issues come up, but these PMIs do help identify issues before they actually become problems. That way, you know, your operations become less interrupted. I want to add a note dealing with the programmers out there, or if you happen to know a radio programmer out there. I've noticed that there's been more than one occasion where some radios have been bonking due to the way the radios have been programmed, and more specifically, the TDMA aspect. I can't speak for all of the manufactured code plugs, but I know in a Motorola radio, there's two aspects. The TDMA band plan and the phase two voice capable. You have to have both of them accurate or you're going to get bonked. Not by the system, but by the radio itself, because it's unable to actually transmit or receive properly. So just if you're a programmer or if you know a programmer, you know, just try to pay attention to those areas and that they're both set correctly. The last thing I want to add is, like Paul mentioned, you know, we're getting close to the 33,000 license cap for the radios. I just want to reiterate again that I do not know what happens when we do hit that limit. I can speculate that nothing per se will happen and the system just yells at us, but I can't say that for certain. So if you do have radios that can be removed, please do so. And that is all I have.
Is that a system limitation or is it a license limitation?
It is a license limitation.
It's a license limitation.
So more licenses can be purchased to increase that limit. I believe up to 500,000 or 100,000. It's a much larger number. But.
Okay. It wasn't insignificant dollar amount. So yeah. Otherwise, I would have bought, if it was like 500 for 1,000, I just would have bought a couple more. But.
Can imagine.
Yeah. It was more like $5,000 or $10,000.
Or 500.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure those 32,000 radios aren't all
actively being used on the system. So.
Correct. I just wanted everyone to understand the reason, the impact.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks. Are there any further questions for Nick Fostock? Okay, hearing none, we can move on to the state and DOD updates. Mr. Stormo, what do you have today?
Just to follow on to the antenna changing that was mentioned, there's a bunch of antennas that got put in under the project that are being replaced under warranty. Essentially, there was a manufacturer defect in them, so they're changing them all out here over the next month or two. One of the sites that they're going to change them out on has had notably poor coverage over the winter, and when the snow melted, we discovered the reason for the poor coverage. It was the antenna was laying on the ground, snapped off the tower. So we have been looking for a good weather window to go up and put one up, but it so happens that's one that is going to be replaced in the middle of July. So it, you know, it's kind of getting into the question of if we've been without it probably for a few months, and it'd be an effort to go up there and slap one on and then have them go right behind us and change it out with another one. So, and it's Ernestine site, and it will probably not get fixed until the middle of July. But again, it's been that way for a while. I would ask again, like we have kind of before, we're looking at getting some antenna monitoring equipment. It would be a pretty expensive purchase to put them on all the sites. But if you notice coverage is not what it used to be, please call the help desk and let them know so they can start a process of looking into that. Unfortunately, we live in Alaska, so we can't do much about things in the wintertime sometimes. But if it's in the summertime, we definitely can get there. And in the wintertime, at a minimum, we try to take a look at it. The state is under a hiring and out-of-state travel freeze. Thankfully, we just got approved for hiring, so most of our PCNs in my shop were able to continue the recruitment process. That's significantly important for the Fairbanks area because we only have one technician up there, and he retired last Friday, so there's nobody in the northern region to respond to any of our sites or, you know, assist any state agencies with their radios. So that was Mike Grant, for those of you that may have known him. He was one of the old school radio guys, started a long time ago, worked for a private company up there, and eventually came to work for us for the last 10 years or so. Out-of-state travel is pretty much stopped. We canceled the couple of us that were going to the Genesis User Forum, the APCO conference, and the Motorola Trunk Users Group, of which is extremely important information for us. We canceled that because we were denied out of state. Good news is I put it in the contract to make the OMO go to this, because this ain't the first time that we've been under an out-of-state travel freeze in my 10-plus years, so I put it in the contract to make sure that the LMO goes to it, so at least we have somebody from this group that can go out of state when we're under these kind of situations. So Paul will be there to bring back whatever information he can bring back for us. I do not have anything else at this time.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Cromo. Any questions regarding that? Okay, Mr. Woodall, do you have anything from the DOD?
Yeah, I have an update. It seems like a year now ago. We started the process of requesting the approval from the Secretary of the Air Force and Secretary of the Army to execute an intergovernmental service support agreement with the state of Alaska, provide operations management and infrastructure maintenance services to DoD infrastructure that is part of ALMR. The Air Force has completed their determination and approval for that, authorizing us to execute on behalf of the Air Force installations in the state of Alaska, an IGSA with the state. We are holding off on executing that just solely for the Air Force. We're waiting for the Army to do the same and provide us that determination and approval. The so what to that is that any part of the infrastructure, any from batteries, battery plants to microwave guides to dishes to whatever makes up the infrastructure, you can, you DoD as infrastructure owners can look to the state of Alaska as an active contractor to provide those services for you, either by contracted services that they've administered through their contract administration or infrastructure operations and maintenance or operations management services or for services they deliver from their in-house state of Alaska team. More to come with how those services will be delivered, how payment for those services would be executed. All of that will be worked out. But essentially, this is a 10-year agreement. It is exactly the same, has the same status as a contract, meaning that it is, in terms of a funding perspective, a must-pay requirement in terms of having a contract in place. It is something that can be funded in under continuing resolutions and that sort of thing. And it will rectify the situation where DoD was a third-party beneficiary to the state of Alaska's signed contract, as you may or may not know. We were not signatory to the contract, but we were receiving services from contracts administered by the state. This provides a legal contractual relationship for us with the state to receive those services. So more to come on that as we work with the state to learn how the state will deliver services and pricing and how to invoice and those sorts of things as we work through the intergovernmental support agreement. And I would suggest that if you are not aware, we will be having a new contract coming up, requirements coming up in the next year. So in addition to the new contract, we can anticipate that there will be a cost increase in the services that would be delivered in support of ALMR. In the budget that's coming out, we're hoping to provide some good rough order magnitude numbers that would help you budget and inform leadership on what those costs would be. And then part of that that process, as you know, or maybe you aren't aware, we were late to need in getting funding and executing the technical update that we just got. So the normal 5-year lifespan you get from a upgrade, I think ours was at, we were already 3 years into that upgrade's lifespan, which left us with about 2 years of that lifespan when we were able to actually get it executed due to funding delays and other issues. So that's why another reason why it's really critical that we get our funding lined up and executed at the same time so that we can get into upgrades when they're at the beginning of their life cycle versus near the end. So, but of importance is in the next contract period, we will be looking at a process whereby we're on a continual upgrade plan, and that will require us to be at the latest technology version when we execute that. So there is the potential that we will be looking at an upgrade in the next year and a half or so. Would you say that's correct, Scott?
Yeah, we should be. We are due for an upgrade before we would start a SUGA program.
So I just wanted to let you know that and keep that in mind. When the budget comes out, we will send those figures to you, and so you can work that through your budgeting process and start advocating for the appropriate funding to move forward. That's all I got. Pending any questions.
Thanks, Mr. Woodall. And are there any further questions for him? Okay, hearing nothing. So time to move on to the council representatives. We'll start with the state of Alaska. Are there any updates from the Department of Public Safety?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is John Rockwell from DPS. What I'd like to do is basically endorse everything that Mr. Woodall was discussing. That number one, we are at the end year of the current contract. There will be contract negotiations. We anticipate the funding to be a bit higher than what we currently are paying, since we have had the luxury of a 10-year no cost update contract. And so the new contract moving forward is going to be a challenge. He also is mentioning that this is going to take kind of a grassroots endorsement from all of you for us to continue to move forward successfully. So I appreciate, Tim, what you were talking about and getting that budget out to the user community so we can get some support for that additional funding in the future. Anything else that I'll just turn over to Mr. Endres if he's online. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
We hope to maybe be able to order some radios, some support, additional portable soon. We also had meetings with the FirstNet folks to look at testing the FirstNet rapid response push-to-talk, and had meetings yesterday with the Iridium push-to-talk folks and with the commissioner, and who shared with everybody the rather bleak budget outlook. So we'll keep plugging away and see what we can do to at some point, you know, get all the radios upgraded, and we'll keep working on it.
All right. Thank you, Lieutenant Andrus. How about DOT? Are there any updates from DOT?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. I don't see anybody from DOT online.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. They're very busy. Let's move on to all others. And that would be me. like Lieutenant Andrus, we're in the process of replacing radios, but I don't want to say any more than that because the last time I did, it got kinked right at the last second. So obviously it was jinxed. So I will, I'm just going to refrain until I actually get a radio in my hand. How about you, Mr. Edwards? Do you have anything?
So the exciting thing is I do have radios in hand, and I am starting to work with the radio shop to get some code plugs generated, because I've got some dual frequency stuff, and I'm excited to get them up and running. Hopefully things quiet down that I can concentrate on it also. So thank you.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent news, Mr. Edwards. And their TDMA, so you're kind of weaving your way through that programming spectrum?
have not opened the software yet. And that's the exciting part to come.
Oh, great. I'll be looking forward to pick your brain once you get through that. Moving on to the DoD, is there anything from J-Bear?
No, nothing to add here. Just know that our new commander should be taking over here in about 2 weeks. I have the appointment letter and user agreement ready for him. Once he gets in a seat, he plans on reviewing all appointment letters and everything like that. So we haven't forgotten about it, but just waiting on the new commander.
Great. Thank you for that update. How about Isles?
Hold on. That's Sergeant Graves, it's Mr. Woodall. If you need you need us to come over and brief the new commander when he gets in on the LMR program, just send me an email or let me know, and we'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Can you shoot me an email with the new J6 so I can put it on the appointment letter?
We'll do.
Yeah. All
right. Master Gray, this is Nick. If he wants to come over here too and see how everything works, he's more than welcome.
Yes, field trip. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'll definitely keep you guys in mind. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. That's excellent. How about Eielson? Nobody on for Eielson today?
Paul, we don't see anybody from Eielson.
Okay. Well, great update from J-Bear. How about updates from the Army?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. We don't see anybody from the Army online.
Okay. How about the federal non-DOD representatives? Is there anything from the Department of Justice?
Nothing from the FBI.
Thank you, sir. How about the Department of Interior?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. No one out from the Department of Interior.
Okay. How about all others?
Nothing from TSA, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. Next are the municipal representatives. Is there anything from the municipalities north?
You're not on. No. Marion and Brett Green are not on for the north.
Okay. Mr. Chair, this is Paul. No one from the north is on.
Okay. How about municipalities southeast?
Yes, this is Erin Calwara, and I don't have anything for the region. For Juneau, we are getting ready to put out a RFP for new subscriber radios for the police and fire departments.
Great. Thank you for that update. How about municipalities central?
This is Tammy Gojakakrill, and I have nothing new to report, but I just want to express my heartfelt thanks for all the support and assistance I've had over the last month from staff, including Paul and Nick and Chris. And Nick in particular has gone above and beyond to assist me with different things I've needed to do at a console level, some planned, some right on the spot I needed help. And I'm just very grateful to have such a skilled and supportive team to tap into. And you guys are incredible. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tammy. Sorry. Thank you. Because I just went there. So I apologize, Ms. Kawara. My script went straight to the bottom, but I was listening to your update, and it just decided to roll on its own. But thank you for that update, and I'm sure that's much appreciated. Anything from the municipality central?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. Ms. Tammy Goodyear-Taco just gave her report. We're just waiting for Mr. Goodman's turn.
I have nothing.
Thanks, Mr. Goodman. Does anybody have new business to offer up? Okay, well, hearing none, the next meetings are July 2nd and August 6th. Is there anything else anyone would like to offer up?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. I just wanted to remind everyone, if I can, that Mr. Newman will be giving a presentation as soon as the meeting's over with on AWARN.
Thank you. And if that is all, at this time, I'll accept a motion in a second to adjourn the meeting.
John Rockwell, motion to adjourn.
And a second.
Bob Carter with TSA seconding.
Thank you. So the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for attending.
Well, everyone, this is Paul. Just give me a couple of minutes. Mary will stop recording the transcript, and I'll set it.